Good morning.
I'm not sure where that the bio came from, but it's about 6 years old, so I think it must have got some in mind from some old APHA database. So I wanted to kind of tell you what I'm doing 6 years later after the bio. I am on the Faculty of Public Health Leadership Program at UNC Chapel Hill at the School of Public Health. Several of my colleagues work with Dr. Graham, so we established a connection between the work that we're doing and the very interesting presentation that Dr. Graham presented earlier. I'm also the faculty director of the Public Health Leadership Track is introducing a new MPH, a completely online MPH, global online MPH, that continues to focus on trying to build the capacity of our global public health leadership, as well as a focus on practice and implementation. So we're really excited about this program. And what I'm going to talk about is one of the courses that we developed that are going to be part of the implementation sign-ups, applied implementation concentration area for this program. This course was intended to address some of the issues that was raised in the earlier presentation about the perception that academics don't really understand the issues of local public health, that the focus is more on research than on practice. And it was really intended to build in our students the ability to use good analytical data to work with health departments to improve the quality of service. It's a cross-departmental course, so it was at across multiple departments. The people that you see here are the three faculty members, myself, a faculty member from health policy, and one from maternal and child health put the course together. And they're not here today, but the intent is to be able to engage the entire set of MPA students across all our departments in the school in being able to build the skills to use data to improve the quality of public health services. So I have no financial relationships. What I want to do, therefore, is to talk about this course. It's a graduate course, as I said, that's aimed at helping local and global health practitioners improve the delivery of public health programs. We had a hybrid approach where we used online a lot of the actual planning in partnership with the organizations that we work with happened online, but the actual face-to-face work took place in the field. And I want to talk about, so we launched the pilot course last spring. We're launching the course again this spring. We've had a very successful pilot. We're expanding the pilot into additional sites this year. So I want to give you also a sense of what's happening as we go forward. The emphasis of the course was on using public health skills for solving real-life problems. And so what we wanted to do is can our students take some of the skills they've learned in epidemiology, some of the skills they've learned in data analysis, some of the skills they've learned in identifying and focusing on public health issues, and can they take it out in the field within the course of one semester? And can they actually test and implement a small public health issue? And can they demonstrate success? And so in order to do that, what we needed to do is we had to partner with multiple organizations and begin to get their ownership in saying, can you support our students to do that? And of course, part of what we needed to do was we needed to make sure that we were selecting a problem that was small enough that could be accomplished within a semester, but was important enough to our partner organization so that this was not something where we just sent a bunch of students to say, come solve something that's not important. So this establishing this partnership with the organizations that we work with was really important. We spent a lot of our time working with, kind of beginning to bridge this gap between academia and practice, really going and talking to the leaders of these organizations, understanding what their needs were, trying to scope down a problem that could be solved, and understanding how they could support our students as they went through this course. So the course, as I said earlier, was an interdepartmental course. We had a group of students, we had some MPH students, we had some PhD students, and we had some preclinical MD students who were part of our MPH program. there were two partners. We also, one of the things that we, as the Gilling School of Global Public Health, we are, our motto is that we address that there is no real difference between global and local issues. And so we wanted to have a partner organization that was global and a partner organization that was local. So we had one team in North Carolina, one in India. It was a hybrid offering, so we offered all of the course materials online. And part of the relationship that we built with our partner organizations was to offer the didactic portion of the course also to selected members of partner organizations. So they, in addition to our students, so the students went through the course for academic credit, and the members of the partner organization went through the course. They had access to the materials, they could participate in the discussions, they could ask questions, and then they got a certificate of completion at the end. And so, of course, the idea was that as we were teaching the students, as we were guiding the students to different aspects of the course, the members of our partner organization also were able to be guided by us. And therefore, when it actually came time for the field work, they had already followed along, so they knew what our students were doing, and they were able to kind of participate both in the kind of didactic part of the course and in the practical course part of the course as partners. So the first pilot, we had 14 students, and this is the team from India. So we had one team in North Carolina and one team in India. And the projects that they had selected, so the local team was with Wake County, that's in Raleigh, and they were working at it's a walk-in STI clinic. And the clinic had a large percentage of patients who got turned away at the end of the day because they were capacity constrained. So they would come in, there'd be a certain number of patients they would see, the rest of the patients that they couldn't see, they'd say, well, come back this afternoon or come back tomorrow. And of course, the population was, it's a vulnerable population, it's not always a population that returns. And so the kind of service that they would be being able to offer, over half the patients that came in, they were not able to see in a given day. And so the question was, could the students look at the process of registration, could the students look at the process of admission, and do something to reduce the turnaway rate? In India, they worked with a helpline that was intended to answer questions about, it was the first helpline of its kind in India for men who had sex with men. And the idea was to provide a counseling service. But at the same time, they also wanted to make sure that they were getting enough information about sexual behavior, they were getting information about attitudes, they were getting information about knowledge about HIV transmission, so that then could be transformed into a HIV prevention program. What was happening was that when the people called in, they were interested in having their question answered. And as soon as they got their question answered, they hung up. So some of the background information that was really important for being able to understand what were the attitudes in the population and in this particular population, and how some of that data could be used to actually to provide health promotion about HIV prevention, they were not able to get. So the question was, how do we change the way that the counselors interact with the people who call in, that can increase the response rate of getting these key pieces of information? So the approach that they used was the standard quality improvement approach, as the model for improvement that the Institute for Healthcare Improvement has developed. And through the course, they followed the steps of the model for improvement. They identified the problem that they were going to solve, and they went through one iteration of the plan, do, study, act cycle. So one of the things that was very important for us, a lot of the courses that we teach, and a lot of the courses students do, they get up to the analysis stage. So you identify the problem, you do your analysis, you provide your recommendations, then you leave. And what was important for us was to make sure that we actually took the project to the implementation stage. Because it's not enough for us to be able to say, okay, so here's what you need to do. There might have been many solutions that came out as a result of the analysis, but we wanted them to take at least one small solution and walk their way through, because, of course, where the challenges come is not in the analysis. The challenges come in the implementation. And as the previous presenter said, this is really where I think the gap between what the students do, what academics do, and what the practitioners do begins to get is highlighted, because the feeling is that actually the students don't truly understand the implementation problems in the field. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted them to work with the practitioners to say, can you tell us what the implementation problems are? How can we work together to solve these problems? So for each of the, and I'm going to take you through just one of the projects, but what they did was they went through the three questions of the model for improvement. They set the aims for the project, they established the measures, they identified the kinds of things that they needed to do in collaboration with the partners. So this was done the way that we had structured the course, and I'll talk a little bit later about how we've changed the structure of the course going forward. But the way we had structured the course was that they would do all of this work, the planning work, in the first 2 to 3, the first 8 weeks of the course, so before spring break. Then in spring break, they would actually go do the field work, and they would implement the changes during spring break. And then they would come back after spring break. They would have they would put in place the process measures to make sure that that the implementation was happened with fidelity. They would do the post-implementation performance evaluation, and then they would wrap up the course. So this was actually a really, really aggressive schedule, especially for the team that worked in India. We had Skype calls with the India team at 6:30 on every Saturday morning to make sure that the things were moving forward. But logistically, it was quite complicated, and we found that actually it was a very short time frame. But despite that, the students were actually able to work with the teams with their partners very successfully, and have enough of the intervention plan so that they could go during spring break and implement it. So what they did, and this is the Wake County example. So here are some of the kinds of things that they looked at. So when they went in, both the teams did what we call a process walk. So they actually experienced the process as though they were the customer of the process. And the local team, the Wake County team, found that the issues were not so much in the patient-provider interaction, but in a lot of the work that took place before the patients actually met the providers. So in intake and registration, there were delays. Patients would wait for so what would happen is that they would go one by one up to the registration desk, and they would fill the forms at the registration desk. So that took 3 or 4 minutes. In the meanwhile, everybody else would be waiting. So some of the simple changes associated with, can we streamline the registration process? Can we make sure that people are filling out the forms at the same time as they are waiting? Can there be some mechanism by which they're given a mechanism to say, okay, we can admit 20 patients today, but then we'll give you a chit that says we'll see you at 1 o'clock this afternoon, rather than coming back and waiting again in the afternoon. So it was quite interesting, because of course a lot of the changes that they made are not necessarily particularly complex changes, but in the day-to-day running of the clinic, these are the kinds of things that don't get implemented. So what we found was, what was really helpful to the organization was not so much that the students were discovering new things, but they were using data to demonstrate to the organization, here's what the extent of your problem is. And then as they were beginning to work with the local team with the solutions, as they were presenting the data, a lot of the solutions got generated by the members of the local health department, rather than our students coming in and saying, here are the list of things that you needed to do. And we thought that there was a really, it truly represented what our students can do in terms of being able to use data to lead to solutions. What you do is you use the data to expose the problems, and then you work with the local organizations and think of solutions collaboratively. And so some of the other things that they did, it was simple things. It was staff communication. So as the intake staff were completing the registrations, the nursing staff didn't know how many people were waiting. So if we could improve the quality of communications, if the nursing staff knew that there were people waiting, there were things that they could do to speed up the process, the back end. So these were some of the kinds of things that they put in place. As a result, within the 1 week implementation period, they had a 74% reduction in patients who were turned away, and they had a significant reduction in the variability of wait time. Just by implementing some of these simple solutions in combination with the local health department, they were able to bring about a significant change in the outcomes. So what are some of the kinds of things that they learned? So when we did an evaluation of what is it that you learn? So systems thinking. How do I begin to think about really solving practical problems? So it's not a case study that I'm studying in a course, but this is really something that a clinic is experiencing, how do I solve the problem. What kind of tools do I need to have for problem solving? These are not just statistical tools, but these are so that they use, how do I walk through a process to understand what a customer feels about a process? How do I map the process out to understand what the steps are? How do I take a bunch of solutions and separate them out into things that I can do today and things that I can do tomorrow? So it's much more about how do I take something which is a practical problem and think about it in a way that I can implement it successfully in a short period of time. Partner engagement I talked about. Flexibility and adaptability. The people who were the India team, every day they would go in and there would be a new crisis. And so they would have to adapt to the crisis. What they hadn't realized when they landed up is a lot of the consulates didn't speak English. All of the conversations that took place were in Hindi with somebody translating in real time. So the whole idea of understanding culture, understanding context, being flexible to changes, and being able to solve problems at the same time was something that the students thought was a very valuable skill. Impact on partners. So one of our partner was the QI manager at Wake County Health Department. One of the things that she said that was really resonant to us was the things that the students did, they were able to replicate in other clinics. So again, none of these solutions are solutions that are unique. Of course, they're context specific from site to site, but they were not unique to a particular clinic. They were able to take the solutions the students came up with and adopt them in other clinics. And of course, in terms of the impact on students, they are the whole idea of thinking about good data collection for implementation, good analysis for implementation, something that has excited students tremendously. We've had at least one master's paper around this area, and they have the batch of students are working with our India partners to come up with a publishable paper on how do we begin to take good data and how do we put it in practice for solving problems. So, what's happening in the future? So we've just launched the spring 2015 class, and it opened up for registration about 10 days ago, and all the slots were filled in the first 2 hours of registration opening. We've got about 35 students on the waiting list who want to take this course. So clearly it's extremely, extremely popular. What we're doing as well is because we realized that the students wanted to learn the skills as well as the practice, and we wanted to make sure that we were getting enough students in through the class. So we're offering it as a completely online option with an end-to-end case study that students can do, and then we're offering it and then for those who want to have a field option, we're offering a field option as well. We've also moved from having the field option being done in the spring break to actually it being done at the end of the semester. So all the students will have a uniform learning experience through the semester, and then they will have more planning time, and then the implementation will take place after the semester ends. And we've expanded the course to the field options, three field options. We have a one in Africa and two in North Carolina. And finally, this course is now part of our new online global health MPH that I talked about. This is a course that is conforming to the new ASPPH integrated core requirements. And one of the concentration areas that we're bringing about is one in applied implementation science. So quality improvement is just one piece of a broader set of skills that we think our students need to know. And so we're developing a set of four courses. We're developing a course on using design thinking and engineering design and systems thinking to design implementation systems. We're developing a course on how do you actually implement? How do you get together implementation teams? How do you work with local agencies? How do you begin to think about fidelity of implementation? So we're developing a course on implementation techniques. We have this course on quality improvement, which you just saw, which we're calling the implementation lab. And we have a course on monitoring and evaluation. The idea is that if our students have to go out into the field and be able to use their training effectively, they really need to know how do I build the ability to be able to design complex implementation systems? How do I actually go out and implement in real time? How do I improve what I implement? And how do I use evaluation to do that? And so this course is one part of this four course series that we're going to be developing over the next couple of years. And we're really, really excited about these new innovations. Thank you.